So thankful you're here this morning. So thankful to be with you. So thankful that you're tuning in live stream. We hope that everyone's doing well. We hope that you're able to attend this evening at 5 p.m. to our on giving. And giving can be a rather uncomfortable subject for many. There was a preacher at a local congregation who was preaching a sermon, and he stood before the congregation and he told them that he had some bad news, he had some good news, and then he had more bad news. He said, the bad news is the church needs a new roof. And people were groaning and they were starting to complain. He said, but there's good news. We have enough money for this new roof. And people sighed some relief and they were thankful. And he said, but the bad news is it's still in your pockets. So when you're talking about giving, this can be rather uncomfortable for any preacher. Although it is a wonderful blessing and a good Christian practice to understand the ins and outs of why we give. Why does God command giving? Why does he want us to be contributing to the work of a local church? I was 7 years old, and I can remember it because it was all over the news and television. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, who fell victim to a scandal. They were stealing money from the church contribution. They had built themselves a wonderful empire. And so when we talk about giving and we talk about the contribution and we talk about individuals' finances, people get uncomfortable. We can get possessive. And that's an area in which the Bible wants us to understand God doesn't want us to be hoarding our funds. He doesn't want us to be stingy with our finances. He doesn't want this to overtake us as Christians, but he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be giving people. The Bible continually warns against the dangers of giving. Let me just list some of those dangers for you. Let me just list some of the things that the Bible talks about in our giving. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible warns for us not to be lovers of money, which leads to all sorts of evil. Luke 16, 13, the Bible teaches us not to allow money to become our master. In Ecclesiastes 5, 13, the third time it brings it up, he says, do not keep your riches to your hurt. Do not hoard your funds. He says, I've seen a great evil in this world. And he says, an individual who keeps his riches, who hoards it, don't love money more than God. Don't allow it to become your master. And thirdly, don't hoard it. Don't keep it as though it is your master and it's everything to you. Israel made a mistake. Israel's failure with the things that God had blessed them with. If we could get the next slide. Am I supposed to have the clicker? Is that what's going on? Israel's failure. See, Israel didn't have cash like we have cash. They had possessions. They had land. They had cattle. They had these types of grain was some of the wealth that they had accumulated. And so these things that God had blessed them with and given them, he expected them to give some of it back, a portion of it. The Old Testament calls this a tithe. A tithe was just a tenth of what they owned and possessed. God was generous in his giving to the children of Israel. And so he allowed them to keep 90% of what he had blessed them with, their cattle, their grain, their first fruits. All he was asking for was 10%. In Leviticus 27:30, the Bible says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So God had given them these possessions, and so he expected a portion of it to be given back to him. We also see in the Old Testament some free will givings. People were voluntarily offering up their their seeds or whatever portion, they could give as much as they wanted to back to God as an offering, and God would willingly receive it back from them. And so he expected for every person to approach him in worship to have something in their hands. Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17 says, "They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed, but every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord which he has given you." And so what was the purpose of the tithe and the free will offerings? God is teaching his people, number one, a principle in the scriptures. So when we try to unpack why we give, why should we reach into our pockets and our finances? Well, this is the same thing he was trying to teach the children of Israel. Number one, God owns everything. So the purpose of the tithe and the free will offerings was to let them know God owned everything. Number two, he was teaching them, in which he teaches us in the New Testament, put God first. Put him above everything else in life. And number three, God wants us to be like him. God is generous. He's very generous. And he expects his people, his children, to be very generous. So how can he teach us to do that? In giving. What we give. But something went wrong with Israel. They did something that they shouldn't have done. Because what they should have done is honored God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to see this principle in Proverbs 3. This is a section of the wisdom literature. So Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 is what we want to achieve in our giving. Verse 9 of Proverbs 3. They were supposed to honor God. Honor the Lord, verse 9, with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And here's the reason. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, he's teaching us another principle. Not only does God own everything and he expects us to give a portion back, but when we give back to God, he's going to end up giving us more. And so I want you to keep this in mind as we begin to unpack all of these verses. The problem with Israel is that they were not always faithful in honoring God. Israel's failure is found in Malachi chapter 3. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book before Matthew in the New Testament in your Bibles. Malachi chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8. Look at this question. Will a man rob God? Think about that just for a moment. Now, we know that there are crooks and there are thieves in this world. And think about who they're robbing. When we visited Knoxville, Tennessee, we stayed at a hotel. And the morning that we got up, we found that our van had been broken into. Now, interesting enough, they didn't take much. I think they just took a few articles of clothing, but they didn't. I think my dad actually left some guns in the van. They didn't take the guns, or they just didn't find them. But think about who they're robbing there for a moment. If they would have recognized we were a family of five when we were young, maybe they would have thought twice about it. Maybe once they broke into the van, they realized, oh, these people are poor and they don't have much, so we don't want to take anything from them. We'll just spread it out in the parking lot. But they didn't really recognize who they were robbing, who they were stealing from. They didn't understand the family that they were taken from needed these things. Pause here for a moment. Who are they robbing? They're stealing from God. And so he asked this question, will a man rob God? Will the inferior or the lesser rob the superior and the greater? Who would think to do such a thing? Now, how did they rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. And what they were saying is, in what way have we robbed you? And God says, in the tithes and the offerings. In other words, in your giving. Here's the result. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And what do you do if you're in a position where you realize, I've stolen from someone I shouldn't have taken from? We've robbed the Almighty. How should we respond? Verse 10, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So in other words, these individuals failed by robbing God. But if they repented of this disobedience, if they relented and changed their ways and gave back to God, God would pour out abundant blessings on them. Why? Because God gives generously. He doesn't want us to hoard it or hold on to it or to be stingy with it, but He wants us to be like Him. So how do we get to that point where we're becoming like God? Well, this is where we need to unpack some of those principles that we mentioned. The first one in the next slide, we need to understand, and what Israel needed to understand, was that God owns everything. It all belongs to Him. All of your possessions, all of your finances, your homes, your clothing, your car that you drive, all of it belongs to God. He owns it all. And at any point, He can take it away from us. All He asks for is for us to give back some of it. Because when we give back some of it, we are saying that we understand you own everything. We understand that we need to put you first in our lives. And we understand that we want to be like you. We want to be generous in all of our givings. So this principle is seen throughout all the scriptures. Haggai 2 verse 8 says, for the silver and gold is mine. God is the one who created the gold, the silver, the birds, the trees, you and me. Everything belongs to Him. That's why in Psalm 24 verse 1 it says, the earth and its fullness is the Lord's. All of it belongs to Him. The earth is God's. Now, what's contained in the earth? Everything. All of it belongs to Him. God doesn't hoard the stuff that He owns, but He gives it to us. And someone might say, well, you know what? I've earned my share. I've worked real hard for the things that I have and I own. You know what? I've put in a lot of time and effort. I've made a lot of sacrifices to get the things that I have. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is exactly what the people were saying to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verses 17 and 18. Then you say in your heart, verse 17, you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's actually He who gives you the power to get wealth. So yeah, you may have been the one who set your alarm, got out of bed, got dressed, drove the vehicle to the workplace, worked all day, sweated in the shop, took a shortened lunch break. You must have made all those wonderful sacrifices, but let me ask you this. Who gave you the strength to go and do those things? Who gave you the power? Who gave you the ability to go and get wealth? God does. Why? Because God owns everything, and that includes us. What if God decides to take away that power? You can no longer say, I've gained this wealth. I did it all myself. God's given us wonderful blessings. He wants us to understand everything, including our strength, all of our life, belongs to him. What does Paul say to the Greeks in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 25? He says, it's God who gives you strength. He gives you life. He gives you everything that you have. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Understanding this principle will help us to become the givers that we need to be. God owns everything. It all belongs to him. Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he says, for do you not know that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. You've been redeemed. God has purchased you. He bought you. Why are you hoarding these futile things, these things that will end up passing away and going away? God owns everything. Here's an important chapter for us to consider as we work through. Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. I know this is not a book that we read quite often, but turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Because David seems to understand this principle and recognize it very well in his life. David understands, yes, God owns everything. And when we give back to God, we're ultimately just giving him what is already his. So look at this in verse 14. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, there's the principle, and of your own we have given you. I want you to go down to verse 16, and he says the same thing in another way, because they're giving these offerings to build this temple of the Lord. So he's accumulating all of the materials and the things that they've offered up to build this temple for the Lord. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. And then David says some very interesting things here in the next few verses. It's almost as if he keeps us in mind, or at least future generations, that we would all have this understanding. Look at verse 17 and 18. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in an uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Look at verse 18. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. Always have this attitude and understanding this principle that everything that we have belongs to God. It's been given to us by God. All we're doing is giving him a portion back of what he owns. And when we do this, when we freely give back to God what he has given us, look at verse 22. Look at the result. Because now they're giving these things back. They're giving them back to God. Verse 22, so they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness. Note that in your Bibles. When people make sacrifices, when they're giving and sharing of their goods, of what God has blessed them with, you know what the result always is? Joy. Gladness. And what does Paul say in Acts chapter 20? It is more blessed to give. It is more blessed to give. And this brings us to another principle in the scriptures. When we give, it will be given to us. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and here's a principle that's used in different ways. It has to do with our Bible understanding. If you are given some Bible information and you give it back to the Lord in service and you begin to teach others that, well, then God will give you more Bible information. It's just a principle that runs through the Scriptures. And so he uses this principle in different ways. So I'm bringing it up because it seems to be one that's also applied when we give. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So again, I've said that this is used in different ways. But here, the most beautiful part of this section of Scripture, this verse, or this principle, is that when you give abundantly, God gives abundantly. When you give generously, God gives back generously. During this time period, the people would buy their grain in bulk. And many sellers who were selling the people the grain, they wouldn't shake it down to where they would get the most in whatever capsule they were keeping the grain in. They wouldn't shake it down. But God says, when you give, when he gives back to you, he's going to shake it down. He's going to give you the most as possible. Because why? God gives abundantly. Giving enables God to give us more. The more we give, the more God gives to us. So what's the reverse of that for a moment? If we don't give a lot, God won't give a lot. If we're stingy and we hoard and we hold on to and we accumulate, well, God can't give us more. He can't bless us because we're holding on to it. And that brings us full circle to the section of Scripture and to the verse that was so capably read for us. When we have grace in our giving, when we realize how much God has blessed us with and how much he's given us, then we'll realize the more that we want to give. When we realize how much God has given us and that he ultimately owns everything and he's just blessed us with a portion of it, we'll be willing, with open and glad hearts, to give as much as possible. Have you ever noticed, well, when we used to pass the plate around, or if you have kids who are able to put into the offering plate, when our kids would see the offering plate being passed around, man, they would get so excited to put all of it into the plate. They would be so happy and thrilled that they were able to participate in that wonderful work. Do we as adults, as mature Christians, do we do that? Or do we feel like, you know what, I'm going to keep, Christmas is coming up, I'm going to keep a portion of this back. Our family needs it more than the church needs it. Give, and it will be given to you. Why? Because God owns everything. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly, little, is going to reap sparingly, little. Here's the good news. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And this is coming from what Jesus has done for us. Verse 8. 7 and 8. So let each one of us, as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So you give, God will give you more. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us. Turn back one chapter to chapter 8 and look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God says in chapter 9, I want grace to abound towards you in all of your giving. I want to make sure that you have an abundance of this graceful giving more and more. He says, because of what Jesus has done. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. How did Jesus do that? He gave us everything we need for salvation. He gave his life for us. He gave abundantly. All he asked for is a portion of it back. This month, we want to focus in on being givers. Our goal is to have a blessed Thanksgiving where we are very thankful for all things God has given us. But this starts, the platform, the groundwork for this is with grace giving. When you understand how much God has done for you, then we'll be willing to give up anything he asks for us. It's not just about the command. It's not about the Bible verse, book, chapter, and verse. It's about the principles that he teaches. God loves us. He wants us to be like him. And he wants to teach us to put him first. So today, sow a seed. Give something. Some have even preached messages that say, give till it hurts. Give a sacrifice. Tonight we're going to revisit this in our PM lesson, and we're going to look at some practical ways on how we can be graceful givers. God has given us his Son for salvation, and if you are not a Christian, we encourage you to become a Christian. Receive his grace. Receive his mercy. Receive his forgiveness by being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian who maybe you've allowed the influences of the world to take over and you've been hoarding those things because you're afraid of what the future may hold, let go of it. Repent of your sins. Change your way of thinking and come back to God. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we stand and we sing.